Israeli military forces have killed over 32,000 people, a majority being women and children, and displaced more than 1.5 million people and are attacking defenseless encampments at Shifa and Al-Aqsa hospitals. It also comes on the heels of Special United Nations Rapporteur Francesca Albanese releasing a report called Anatomy of a Genocide, affirming that the Israeli military is committing a genocide. Right now, it's 10 o'clock here in New York City. Please stay tuned for Ecologic. It's coming up next over WBAI.
A parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? It pay paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, then tell me where we gonna plant our seed.
See a windmill go, feel the pull of an ocean wave, the heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do, there's so much we could know, if we listen to the earth.
Welcome. Glad you can join us for Ecologic. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. This is Ecologic for Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
We'd like to start our show with good news. Earth Justice has defended many vulnerable areas and species, and Florida Panthers, cats, not the hockey team, are one of their latest clients. In 2020, the Trump administration gave wetlands permitting authority to the Florida state government without confirming that state programs would adequately protect endangered species. Actually, Florida has a terrible record, usually supporting development over protecting endangered species. In February, Earth Justice won a reversal that 2020 decision, meaning developments will have to undergo federal permit review. Two big developments were set to destroy a large part of Panthers' homelands, and those projects must now get federal permits. They can no longer rely on state officials' rubber stamps. Development has already decimated Panthers' habitat and put their very existence at risk. There are estimated to be only 120 to 230 panthers left. The wetlands are home to many of the state's 139 endangered species. Wetlands also serve to control flooding, buffer hurricanes, and filter pollution out of drinking water. We need wetlands. This sets a precedent for other states if they seek wetlands permitting authority in the future. This ruling will require the federal government to comply with the Endangered Species Act in order to approve the state programs. Earth Justice also argued that the permitting handover violated the Clean Water Act, the Administrative Procedure Act, and the Rivers and Harbors Act. The court is still considering these aspects of the lawsuit.
Did you know that many pesticides are still allowed throughout the National Wildlife Refuge System? Responding to criticism from the Center of Biological Diversity and other conservation groups, a federal agency has canceled its plan to spray three indiscriminate toxic insecticides within cherished, culturally important landscapes on North Arizona's Colorado Plain. Aimed at killing native grasshoppers, the poisons could have been sprayed inside portions of three national monuments, Vermilion Cliffs, Grand Canyon Parashant, and the newly established Baj Nuovjo Ita Kukavene, ancestral footprints of the Grand Canyon.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah. Taylor McKinnon, the Southwest director of the center, said, "This is a good start. But given the far-reaching threats insecticides pose to wildlife and wild places, federal officials shouldn't use them to target native species on any of our treasured public lands. Most national wildlife refuges were created for hunters, not wildlife. Refuge managers have a lot of leeway in how to run the refuge, as long as it doesn't interfere with hunting. Captive-bred game birds are released on many refuges and do not behave like wild animals." Ken has seen this firsthand.
From Clearwater and Beyond Plastics comes information about New York State's Packaging Reduction and Recycling Infrastructure Act. That's A5322 and S4246, which would require companies to cut their single-use packaging in half and redesign what's left to make it truly recyclable, as well as to remove from their packaging such toxic chemicals as PFAS, vinyl chloride, benzene, toluene, phthalates, bisphenols, lead, and other heavy metals. It would also require companies to pay to collect, sort, and manage what's left, intending to provide taxpayer relief and funding for reuse and recycling programs and infrastructure. Watch for information on Beyond Plastics and Plastic Pollution Rally and Advocacy Day on May 14th.
The Holtec Corporation wants to store 100,000 metric tons of nuclear waste in New Mexico, proposed to be shipped there from all over the country. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission gave them permission, but a federal court has stopped them after years of fighting by environmentalists, indigenous residents, people living along the transport route, and even fossil fuel industry spokespeople who worried about the danger to New Mexico's Permian Basin's oil and gas. The court had previously stopped a similar plan just a few miles across the Texas border. Holtec intends to appeal, of course, and with conflicting circuit court decisions, the Supreme Court is likely to take up the case. There is no safe place to put nuclear waste and never has been. You've heard that on this show many times, and lots of scientific evidence backs that up. Yet, unfortunately, there is a federal political commitment to make more radioactive waste by relicensing aging reactors and building new ones. And the Supreme Court is very favorable to corporations right now, unfortunately, and has ruled at times against the environment and public health.
Hello, I'm Mercy. Next, we have a song by the Raging Grannies. There are many groups of grannies throughout North America and Europe. We put political lyrics to old standards. We performed a set at the Hudson River Revival in June 2007 with Pete Seeger accompanying us on banjo. He was smiling the whole time. The concert was recorded by Lindsay Auden. This is Radical Environmentalists by 35 Grannies and One Grandpa.
We'd like to welcome Pete Seeger, who is joining us.
Was started by Kay Thode of the Seattle Raging Grannies, then the New York Metro got a hold of it, and then the Westchester finished it off. And now we present it for you.
We like our veggies without pests.
Johnny Rage.
Those were the Raging Grannies with Pete Seeger singing Radical Environmentalists. That entire concert is available on DVD for a $40 donation or as part of the 10-DVD Ecologic Video Library for a $175 donation.
In 2015, inspired by Pope Francis's Laudato Si encyclical, Ecologic hosted a discussion among Steve Knight, Corinne Willinger, Dr. Marion Ronan, and Reverend Donna Shaper, analyzing what the encyclical said, how it said it, and what it meant to the entire environmental movement. It was fascinating to hear how meaningful it was to people of different religions, or no religion, and we have included this recording in our Ecologic Video Library, our new premium, which you can get by calling 212-209-2950 or going to give to wbai.org to make your donation of $175.
I think it's a wonderful thing that the Pope has done, because we've heard lately terrible things and bad news, and this is like almost an uplifting feeling that people need to get together, no matter what their beliefs are in terms of religion or not religion, but the important thing is to have a better life and a better world. And so I think this goes beyond religion, even though the Pope, of course, is one of the finest examples of religion.
It's a part of Catholic social teaching, which is what this encyclical is, that popes have addressed the whole world. Pope John the 23rd, the beloved pope of the Second Vatican Council, said in 1963 in Pacem in Terris that he was speaking to the entire world and not just to Catholics. Now, admittedly, there are 1.2 billion Catholics in the world. One out of every six persons on earth is a Catholic. But the Pope is going even beyond that and calling on everyone. And it's quite striking in the letter how often he refers to other world religions and to all people of goodwill. He's not by any means just talking to Catholics or just to Northerners. There was an article in the Boston Globe earlier in the week about the fact that 10% of the footnotes are from bishops' conferences, and most of them are in the global South. This is unheard of in an encyclical. And this Pope is pointing out that the bishops in the Global South have the most to say because it's people in the Global South who are doing the most suffering. So it's by no means just white guys in Europe who are doing this.
Finally. Mm. I think they've had their chance. Mm-hmm. That was enough. that was plenty. I think that it's also so important for me to hear him speak. So one of my struggles, I'll back up, is that I despair that we don't have the leadership that we need to deal with climate. And what we're going to do is back into horrifying authoritarian kinds of leadership, because it'll be one crisis after another.
Yes.
And then there'll be people say, well, you know, this is such a mess, I've got to deal with it. And what I see in the Pope is an authoritative but not authoritarian leader. And I think we need somebody with authority to lead us, and also somebody who's not running for the next office.
Last October, the Pope updated his encyclical with an apostolic exhortation, Laudate Deum. In it, he said, the ethical decadence of real power is disguised thanks to marketing and false information. Useful tools in the hands of those with greater resources to employ them to shape public opinion. To the powerful, I can only repeat this question. What would induce anyone at this stage to hold on to power only to be remembered for their ability to take action when it was urgent and necessary to do so? End quote.
Love that quote. This next clip is a small part, of a Celebration of Nature episode of Ecologic on butterflies. And because it's a DVD, you get photos of the butterflies that were discussed. Three guests were scientists who had recently returned from a conference on butterflies and moths. The fourth was a lifelong butterfly enthusiast. Here they are explaining the fascinating and unusual life cycle of the monarch butterfly.
And you can look in the lepidopterological literature going back to the late 70s and early 80s and see them talking about climate change, which is probably a good 10 or 15 years before it really caught on in the media here.
I did a booklet in 93 on when each of the butterfly species in our area emerge during the year. Some of them come out once a year. Sometimes they have two or three broods during the year. And between then and now, we've probably got about a week and a half earlier for a good many of the species. You know, the whole bell curve has shifted, you know, to the earlier period.
Birders say the same thing, that migration is starting earlier.
And it is, yeah.
And now I'm just thinking, with butterflies having shorter lifespans than birds, you guys would have noticed it really early on.
But again, that's one of these things that's very variable. There are moths that live for a week and don't eat anything. They don't have mouth parts. There are butterflies in the Arctic which are only come out when it's a very bright sunny day. They fly a little bit, they quickly try to mate, and they might live a week. They go back into a depression in the ground as soon as the sun goes behind a cloud. And then there are generations of monarchs that live 4 weeks, 5 weeks, and the migrating generation can live 9 months. So the range is everything in between.
There's a separate generation that migrates in a separate
Only the generation that's born in the late summer, early fall is the migratory generation. All the others are short-lived and don't just fly around in their general area wherever they were born. They fly more or less in that area.
And the last generation of monarchs, amazingly, is different than the earlier generations. Right. They can build fat up in their bodies for long migration.
Yeah, the migratory generation.
Yeah. They can migrate using probably polarized light and magnetism. Their wings are shaped slightly different, and they're one of the most efficient gliding instruments ever invented that physicists have ever found in the world. And so they can sit there and ride thermals. They wouldn't really be able to migrate if they had to flap the whole way down. Right. Much of it they're doing by gliding.
Right.
So there's just an amazing. The closer you look, the closer in you get, the more detail you see, and it's all very interesting.
Yeah.
I grew up hearing about these monarchs, and I thought, oh my God, these poor butterflies! What a hell of a trip! And then I found out it wasn't that one butterfly that made the whole trip, even though a few of them do. Like you were saying, there's a group that's the generational. That's the migrational generation. They're the ones who fly. Not all of them go. Just some of them go.
The going south, they do make the whole trip. Obviously, a lot of them die on the way.
It's a heck of a trip.
Insufficient nectar. But the ones that have enough nectar to survive make the whole trip south, but they don't make the whole trip north.
That's another generation.
Rare.
Yeah.
It's several generations that make a staggered trip back. They lay eggs. That generation continues. And it's two or three generations that migrate north.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
It's rare. When they tag the butterflies, and they have caught a tagged butterfly that came all the way down and all the way back, but that's really unusual.
But usually it takes three generations to make a migrant, one generation to make a, whatever. That's what I'm saying.
That was a monarch butterfly segment of the Ecologic episode on butterflies. Charlie Olson of the Environment TV made that into a DVD, too, and it's part of our new Ecologic Video Library. 10 DVDs for $175, or you can get it on its own for just $40. It's a beautiful DVD. How can it not be when it's all about butterflies? You'll want to watch these DVDs over and over, and maybe even have an Ecologic movie night with your friends.
You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Donna Stein.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Ken Gale.
We had fun selecting the DVDs for our video library, for Ecologic's video library. It covers a wide range of topics and styles. It includes music, panel discussions, and Ecologic interviews. We've just heard clips from the Raging Grannies and Pete Seeger, the Pope's encyclical discussion and celebration of butterflies, and we'll play samples from most of the DVDs included in the library. You'll find the full list on give2wbai.org where you can make your $175 donation, which includes voting membership to WBAI. This is your community radio station, and we welcome your involvement.
Years ago, I proposed to the Left Forum a panel discussion of four environmental activists comparing the pluses and minuses of grassroots environmental groups and national groups. The Left Forum was going to charge us for doing the panel, so we went to a nearby park and recorded it for the Environment TV. The panelists were Donna Stein, J.K. Canepa, Tim Keating, and Kim Pratchett. There were moments of magic as each person built on what the others said. Unfortunately, the issues they brought up are timeless. The panelists talked about the advantages of large groups and of grassroots groups with stories of campaigns won, lost, and partially won. I'm so glad, really glad, that Charlie Olson recorded it on videotape and that we're able to bring it to you. This is Kim Pratchett from a segment about greenwashing.
Greenwashing, well, a couple of things. I mean, I think that the United States government having an environmental protection agency is the biggest part of greenwashing. I mean, they work against the people. They compromise so much, and their name is the Environmental Protection Agency. There's no possible way of actually calling them out because our democracy isn't working. But we have that in place, this EPA, and people will say, well, go complain to the Environmental Protection Agency, but it doesn't work for the people. That's a good example of greenwashing. Another personal example of greenwashing is in my former life, I used to work as a handbag designer in the fashion industry, and I would make handbags that were made of PVC, and one good thing, I refused to work on the leather lines. They granted my vegetarian lifestyle permission to not work on the leather lines. But, you know, I worked on, you know, a PVC line that was made of fossil fuels. And this enormous corporation had a sustainability office. And they nominated me as, like, their sustainability captain for my handbag squad. And because I was seen as like the hippie that cared about the environment. And, you know, and it's like these people didn't do anything except write letters to the public for their shareholder meetings on what they're doing to become sustainable. And they didn't do any of it. I've been to the factories in China. They're not doing anything to be sustainable. The very structure of their corporation is not sustainable, going back to how, you know, I'm worried about large, you know, environmental organizations following that same structure of a large corporation that isn't sustainable. So luckily I don't work in that handbag company anymore.
That was Kim Pratchett from a panel discussion comparing grassroots and national groups, done especially for the Environment TV and available to you. That whole discussion has relevance today, as we balance the need for local input with national power, and it is available on its own or as part of the Ecologic Video Library. 10 DVDs for $175, or each DVD alone, as our gift to you and thanks for your donation of $40. Call 212-209-2950 or go to givetowbai.org to support the environment and free speech radio. That's 212-209-2950. Or give to WBAI.org.
Long-time listeners will know that I'm a birder, and it's always fun to have fellow birders on Ecologic. This is Dr. J. Drew Lanham of Clemson University and Christian Cooper, now of the National Geographic Channel, together on our Nature for All episode of Ecologic. This show was recorded almost a whole year before Chris became temporarily famous by his sister's viral video post of his run-in with a racist dog walker in Central Park.
I like to call it, you know, this barter. You have these bits of affection traded for pieces of adoration. That birds give you that birds by song, by sight, and sometimes by imagination. Imagining trans-Gulf migrants, these birds that have jumped off of the Yucatan Peninsula on some night, following stars, following instinct, on the faith of lift and thrust, and hopefully a tailwind that they push across that watery abyss. And that when they land, when they are fortunate enough, if they are fortunate enough to have survived that journey, that peregrination, that those birds, you see this bird, this one bird, maybe it's a scarlet tanager, that is in your binocular view, to imagine not going on quickly to the next bird that you can list, but thinking for a moment of that bird having just maybe a couple of weeks before being on some Andean slope, that some of the birds that you were seeing look down upon jaguar and look down upon caiman and have flown across these seas. It's epic to me. And so every bird is a poem. Every bird is just this verse in this odyssey that we get a chance to see. And so that's the wonder of it. That's those seven joys that Chris so eloquently and poetically expresses. All of those things are wrapped up in each and every bird.
I couldn't agree more. And correct me if I'm wrong. Don't little tiny hummingbirds, ruby-throated hummingbirds, cross the Gulf in a single flight?
Yes.
That's astonishing to me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. You know, that just, I mean, if you want to try an exercise with kids or with adults, really, it's quite fun, is you stand them up and you say, okay, guys, we're going to cross the Gulf now. So what you're going to do is you're going to stand up and you're going to flap your arms for the next 12 hours. Just do that. Just stand there and do that. And then you offer some fantastic prize for anyone who could do it for an hour or 30 minutes or 10 minutes, and you find it nearly impossible. So one of the ways that I like to get to kids is to talk to them about sort of this super heroic nature of the birds that we watch. And it's not just those things from the tropics. I'll be honest, you know, I marvel over pigeon flight and just how strong and direct that is. Through a canyon of concrete and glass, I marvel at murmurations of starlings. Starlings didn't ask to be here, so I don't hate on them. they are wonderfully, wonderfully evolved and adapted beings that were brought here by someone else for the purpose of trying to have all of Shakespeare's birds in North America. And that started in Central Park, right?
It did.
So the story goes.
It did.
A video version of the episode we just heard an excerpt of was made by Charlie Olson of the Environment TV, with many graphics of the birds they talked about and a murmuration of starlings set to music, as Drew Lanham talked about. It is one of 10 DVDs in the Ecologic Video Library for a $175 donation, or you can get Nature for All Birding While Black by itself for a donation of $40. As always, call 212-209-2950 or go to give2wbai.org to select your gift in gratitude for your donation to WBAI. That's 212-209-2950 or give2wbai.org.
In early 2017, when the Standing Rock Sioux were initially fighting the Dakota Access Pipeline at the Acheti-Sikowan Camp, the Ramapillinapi set up the Split Rock Sweetwater Prayer Camp on their ceremonial land in Mahwah, New Jersey. Marilyn Ellie of IPSEC interviewed Chief Dwayne Perry for the Environment TV about the history of the Ramapo people. We joined the interview in progress after a discussion of how local police and neighbors had been bullying the Ramapo.
Clarify something for me and maybe for some of our viewers as well. Term? What do you want to be called? Do you want to be called Native American? Do you want to be called Indian? What's good
well,
here?
We're Ramapos.
Ramapos, and that's what we
right.
call you.
Ramapos, right. And let me clarify that for the whole world, because
yes.
There's Ramapo Mountain Indians, or Ramapo Lenapes, or Ramapo Munchies. The bottom line is Ramapo means sweet water.
Mm-hmm.
That's our clan. All of the people here were Munchies. This is a little confusing,
that's
I know.
That's all right. That's all right.
So,
genealogy can be that
right,
way.
Right. So the clan is Ramapo, Sweetwater.
Okay.
The band, which is like a bigger group that goes into Canada and out west,
mm-hmm.
that would be the Muncies, which is the Wolf Band, and then the people, which would be here in Oklahoma and Texas and Canada and wherever you find Lenape people, that would be the tribe.
Okay. So you have relatives on a very wide area.
Right. And our initial homeland here was from western Connecticut to eastern Pennsylvania, north of the Raritan, and it ran up northwest about 100 miles up past Liberty to where when people were escaping for their lives, we would hand them off.
When was that?
Well, back in the middle 1800s.
Okay.
So it was a pretty large swash, and we're right down here now to essentially less than 14 acres.
And you are neighbors of the people in this community.
Yes, we are neighbors of the people in the community, and I think an interesting thing is that prior to this being a community, one of our ancestors had a farm here, Mr. DeGroat, and apparently he was visited a number of times, and he sold his property for a dollar and moved to Orange County.
Did that happen to a lot of blacks who, after the Civil War?
Well, not just blacks. The interesting thing is that the first slaves sold in the state of New Jersey were Lenape people, Native Americans. There were no sizable Africans in this part of the continent at the time. They were selling my ancestors. And the interesting thing about that was that it's just mind-blowing. Queen Anne, I'd like to paraphrase her. She said, and this goes with this racist paradigm of the escaped slaves.
Yes.
Well, that's right, but they forgot. Our people were running away and escaping, but what they forgot to say was the people that were enslaved were Native Americans. There were no sizable Africans on this part of the continent at the time. But to get back to Queen Anne, she said, the local product has become unreliable in production and number. So I have authorized the Royal African Company to begin importing the African products. So this woman didn't even see people as human beings.
They were products.
They were products. They were dollars to her.
I had not heard this part of history.
Yeah, and it's common. It's sort of that hidden in plain sight history.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, this DVD library is just getting better and better, isn't it? That was Chief Dwayne Perry of the Ramapo Lenape in Mahwah, New Jersey, about an hour from New York City. Shortly thereafter, the Ramapo won a court victory to protect their right to religious use of their land. There's so much American history that you'll learn about only on WBAI. Chief Perry has a lot more to tell you on that DVD, which is part of the Ecologic Video Library. 10 DVDs for your $175 donation, or if you just want one, we'll send it to you for a $40 donation. Call 212-209-2950. Or go to give2wbai.org.
In addition to its inclusion in our retrospective library, Water Protectors, Lakota, and Ramapo Lenape is available as part of a package with the film The River That Harms, about the Rio Puerco Church Rock nuclear disaster. For lots more Native American information, you can also check out Building Bridges Premium, Indigenous Peoples' True History, with 11 discs, including The Doctrine of Discovery, The Leonard Peltier Story, and Manifest Destiny and the American Holocaust, with your gift to WBAI of $150.
We know that some longtime listeners already have a few of our DVDs, and we thank you for your support, but we recommend that you consider donating for the entire Ecologic Video Library anyway. For less than the donations for 5 discs, you get twice as many. 10 discs with a wide range of subjects and styles, and you can fill in your collection and have some extras to give as gifts or to donate to your local public library or school. Newer listeners will appreciate the wide variety of subjects in the collection.
Next up, we have a panel of environmental activists from 4 different religious sects discussing how their faith defines their environmentalism and how their environmentalism affects their faith. Green Faith's Steve Knight and Beth Ackerman represent 2 different Christian sects. Also on the panel are Jewish activist and singer-songwriter Sharon Abreu and, from the reclaiming tradition of Wicca, Bright Flame.
And really, a lot of people look, when they say we want to take on a new story, a lot of them look back to the indigenous stories of the earth. And that's witchcraft, I just want to say this, that witches really are the indigenous peoples of Europe, because there were indigenous peoples. Indigenous to me doesn't necessarily mean we lived in huts or we lived in tents or we lived in, you know, whatever, and we baked in this particular way and we hunted for... It means that they knew the earth was sacred and they listened to the earth and they felt themselves part of the earth, and they were as a part of the earth. They took on the responsibility of stewardship of the earth by their nature, by their understanding of sacredness. And that was the way of life. So really, that's what we're all looking. You know, we here at this table and so many others around the world now are not looking to go back and live in tribal society necessarily, but we're looking for that story that maybe our ancestors worked with. And it might be our ancestors from 1,000 years ago, or 2,000 years ago, or 8,000 years ago. Or for some, it might be our ancestors from 50 years ago, because there are indigenous peoples who tend to be the frontline communities of climate change now, something that was really brought home for me in the People's Climate March narrative, that the frontline communities, the global south, a lot of these indigenous communities are the ones who are going to be most affected by climate change more quickly, the ones who will be underwater, who will have the tidal waves.
That's why I feel like, you know, I feel like I'm part of an earth community. You know, and David Corton actually talks about that. You know, he describes earth moving towards earth community. You know, he's got some great books, The Great Turning and Agenda for a New Economy and other books. For me, I really see that. I see myself, and then I see my immediate community, my wider community, and my global community, because what I do here doesn't stay here. It doesn't only affect me. It doesn't only affect my next-door neighbor, you know. I really see what I do is affecting the whole world. How am I contributing to the suffering people in South America or in Africa or in Alaska, you know, where their towns are disappearing because of the melting, you know, the ice caps and the permafrost and the erosion. It's just, how are my habits, my everyday habits that I don't even think about, that I've grown up with, how is that affecting these people? You know, it may not be affecting me. It may not be affecting me in an obvious way yet. You know, but how am I responsible? And to me, it's a big deal.
Panelists talked about nature, frogs, grandchildren, and Citizens United, and Sharon sang her song, The Balance, about the balance of nature. Although the panelists were from four different religions, they all agreed on the importance of protecting the environment. The discussion was recorded at the New York Ethical Culture Society by Charlie Olson of the Environment TV. We were in a room overlooking Central Park, and I kept expecting a red-tailed hawk to fly by the window, but no such luck.
There's no business like war. Nuke business is a classic Broadway pastiche by Raging Grannies that the New York City Metro Raging Grannies and their daughters adapted for protests. This recording is from the same concert as the Radical Environmentalists song that we played earlier.
There's no business like war. Business the worst business we know. Never mind the homeless and the
the worst business we know. Never mind the asthma and leukemia.
That was several groups of Raging Grannies from all over the country singing No Business Like War Business live at the Hudson River Revival with Pete Seeger, connecting issues just as we do in Ecologic. The entire concert is available on DVD for a $40 donation or as part of the 10-DVD Ecologic Video Library for a donation of $175. Both donations include a voting membership to WBAI.
And the number to call is 212-209-2950. When you choose to become our Ecologic BAI buddy, you are giving us a reliable source of support that we can depend on, just as you can depend on WBAI. We're here for you all the time, and you'll be helping to ensure we stay here. Just $10 or $15 a month, more if you can, enables people to listen wherever they are.
If you want, you can send a check or money order for your membership and our premiums. Mail to WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. And WBAI.org. I'm Donna Stein.
I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Sally Gellert.
Ooh. Got the wrong printout.
This coming Tuesday, April 9th, the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection will hold a meeting at Liberty State Park about the park's revitalization plans. The meeting starts at 6 p.m. with in-person and Zoom public comment at 7:30. Friends of Liberty State Park is calling for a public show of interest, so show up or call in. We'll have the registration link on our website, ecoradio.org. In addition to the items we have sampled today, there are two additional DVDs. You can take a virtual trip up the Hudson River on the Hudson River Sloop Clearwater with musicians and activists on 2017 on the DVD Sailing Up the Hudson. The DVD Bees and Pesticides includes nearly 3 hours of video. Bees are in danger, and with them are food choices. Learn more about bees from two beekeepers and about the dangers to them and what you can do about them from Reverend Billy, Mercy Van Black, and Lenny Libreezy.
The Ecologic Video Library includes a wealth of information on many topics, with guests from science, music, activism, and more. All 10 discs can be yours as a thank you for donating $175. The Ecologic Video Library has hours of environmental information and stories of many types and styles, from serious, hard-hitting environmental information to fun celebrations of nature, and even some music.
Before we get to our Connect the Dots DVD, we want to mention that Friday, March 22nd, was World Water Day. Many groups consider that to be the beginning of a climate justice or Earth Month ending on Earth Day, April 22nd. In Newark, the Ironbound Community Corporation hosts a march for clean air on Saturday, April 20th, starting at noon at Down Bottom Farms at Ferry and St. Charles Streets to the Passaic Valley Sewerage Commission, PVSC, to say loud and clear, no new power plant in this overburdened community, end quote. The PVSC project would be the fourth such facility, and the New Jersey Turnpike Authority is also making the first steps towards expanding this turnpike with more lanes, which means more pollution in an area that already has too many people with asthma.
Why they just disregard entire populations of people.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Anyway, our Connect the Dots DVD was recorded by John Duffy at the Environment TV's very beginning. The event was hosted by the late Ann Egan in a church in Queens, and it was attended by quite a few other activists who were also doing speaking engagements of their own. Political and social activists often pick an issue and focus on it, tunnel vision style, failing to connect to related issues. And many environmentalists are no exception. The issues I connected that day are fracking, gas pipelines, radon gas in your kitchen, number 6 fuel oil conversion, Navajo uranium mining, electric cars, greenhouse gases, renewable energy, and, of course, energy efficiency. And there's so much to those things, and they all overlap, right? Now, most of you probably know fracking is hydraulic fracturing. It's for natural gas, which is methane, but they market it as natural gas. And it destroys drinking water supplies, air quality, and property values throughout the country, including Pennsylvania and upstate New York. It's a method used to get the domestic gas that politicians love to tout. The Halliburton loophole, named for the company that benefited and was connected to then Vice President Dick Cheney, was inserted into the 2005 Energy Policy Act and exempts hydrofracking from the Clean Water Act, Safe Drinking Water Act, and Clean Air Act protections. Exempts them. All the environmental safeguards were removed when the Pentagon was making war for oil in Iraq, a war that benefited Halliburton also, by the way. Oil and gas companies continue to benefit from this loophole. And these corporations are constantly, they have thousands of miles of high-pressure methane pipelines, and they keep wanting to build more, right? Spectra in the West Village was built with then-Mayor Bloomberg's support. The NoBK pipeline has been fighting in North Brooklyn and seems to have won. But you know that corporation will never give up. They're just going to wait for people to pay attention to something else. Pipelines have exploded about twice a week somewhere in the United States. One of the best known was in San Bruno, California, because it killed at least 8 people and destroyed a lot of homes. A high-pressure pipeline was put under Flatbush Avenue and in Brooklyn, and the company putting it in donated to a lot of small community groups that had been opposing it. They donated to Little Leagues, for example. That quieted the opposition. Small community groups could use the $2,000 or $5,000, a meaningless amount to a $1 billion company, a multi-billion dollar company. What's $2,000, right? They buried the pipeline so well, a lot of people, even those who saw the pipeline being buried, didn't know about it. And I was actually laughed at by a politician when I brought it up at a campaign stop just a few blocks from Flatbush Avenue. They just don't know. Radon is a radioactive inert gas that is the number one cause of lung cancer among non-smokers. It's found underground in many places, and it's brought up with fracked gas in New York State, Pennsylvania, and Ohio. And that gas is being sold to New York City and shipped here via the pipeline that goes into the West Village. Radon is a heavy gas, so it won't just go out the window or exhaust fan. It'll stay in your kitchen. A study from Dr. Marvin Reznikoff of Radioactive Waste Management Associates, RWMA.com, concludes that the influx of radon from fracked gas could lead to as many as over 30,000 new lung cancer deaths per year. This is one of the reasons that gas stoves are now considered a health risk, especially in poorly ventilated kitchens. Con Ed is using that and gas explosions to urge politicians to convert everything to electricity, which increases the amount of fossil fuel burnt in the inefficient plants that they have. An energy expert, Andy Padian, explained last week, although at the time of the lecture, Bloomberg was urging building owners to convert to gas, fracked gas, even if they had dual-use boilers, that way they could already burn it. And the number 6 fuel oil was a dirty fuel that was being touted over and over again. And a couple of architects I know thinks that the whole attack on that fuel oil and the way they attacked it was fraudulent. And I can't tell you that I know that for sure, but I certainly trust those architects. So if they say so, it's got doubts in my mind. We're running out. So uranium mining, electric cars, and the solutions provide, especially efficiency. We talked about that last week, so go back to that show.
we encourage you to go to
all of our shows on WBI.org archives. It's time to wrap up. So thanks for joining us, folks. We really enjoyed bringing you with us on this retrospective journey through some of our favorite ecologic shows and are sure that you'll want to hear more of each and every one of them. Each DVD can be yours with a donation of $40, and we'll send you the entire library of 10 DVDs when you donate $175. As always, if you'd like a follow-up or news report on any of these topics or our previous shows or news items, email us using the clickable link near the top of the page just under the promo meme, and please go to give2wbai.org to become a BAI buddy or choose a premium.
Join us next Wednesday, April 10th at 10 a.m. We love to stay in touch with you, so those of you online, please sign up for our email list or like our Facebook page. We're at WBAI Ecologic, no dashes.
We welcome you to get involved at WBAI. Check the meetings section of the WBAI.org homepage for dates and times. And, of course, we always need your contributions to support everything that makes a broadcast happen. Pledging as an ecologic buddy now during this show really helps Ecologic especially.
And we are always glad to have you with us on Ecologic Live or in the archives. This show will be on the WBAI archives in just 5 or 10 minutes.
Thanks to our engineer, Michael G. Haskins. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us on Wednesday, April 10th at 10 a.m. We're usually here Wednesdays at 10 a.m. between the excellent programs Covert Action Bulletin and Living for the City. Check our website for details. Thanks for being our listeners.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
So solar power, inexpensive energy. So
this is Bobby Humphrey. You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM.
Greetings, this is Dr. James McIntosh, host of Mindfield, which comes to you every Wednesday.
Wednesday at 2 p.m. on WBAI 99.5 FM. Together with my co-host, nurse, family therapist, Richardina Theodore, we delve into the explosive issues in mental health. Our mission is to help you know yourself, release your anxieties and your depression, and free your mind. Only on WBAI, the voice of the voiceless, can we voiceless ones be heard. Support the show and WBAI by donating at give2wbai.org. That's the word give, the number 2, at wbai.org. Or by calling 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. You can support the show and the station even more by going to give2wbai.org and giving a monthly donation of as little as $10 per month as a WBAI buddy to your favorite show on WBAI 99.5 FM.
All right, this is a stick-up. Women and children, jump off the train. The rest of you, on the floor. I said pronto.
But kind sir, this isn't just any train. It's the Arts Express. We're in the middle of a fascinating interview with a major film director. And following that will be a review of a new indie feature. And then there's a reading from one of the most stimulating poets in the U.S.
That does sound interesting. Well, in that case, let's all retire to the bar car and listen. Let's keep that big train a-rolling.
That's Arts Express Wednesdays at 9 p.m. with host Prairie Miller and co-host Jack Shalom.
This is Julian Assange. You're listening to WBAI New York. Stay strong and keep listening.
If you're filing taxes, you may be eligible for some pretty unique deductions. For instance, there are write-offs for clarinet lessons. Or, if you hired your cat for pest control, apparently there's a tax break for that too. But, if you don't think you'd qualify for pet-related deductions, you could just donate a vehicle to WBAI. It's easy, free, and tax-deductible. Here's how it works. Call 866-WBAI-CAR. That's 866-922-4227. Or complete the online form at wbai.org/donateyourcar. From there, our vehicle donation support team will take care of everything, including the pickup, sale, and provide you with a donation receipt. If your vehicle sells for more than $500, you'll also receive a 1098C tax form. So, instead of writing off your cat patrol, you can support programs like the Cat Radio Cafe by donating a car, truck, RV, or boat. Call 866-WBAI-CAR or visit wbai.org/donateyourcar to get started.
WBAI New York at 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. It's just about 11 o'clock here in New York City. Usually we would be bringing you, started to say light show because I'm looking at an encore